Fisting today with Courtney Burr, OSU Extension Specialist. And we're talking, we love talking, we always talk about bees, but what a great presentation today. So talking about bees, let's talk about the necessary items if you want to get started, kind of what you need to start off with.
Sure. So we have a really great fact sheet that's available online that goes through all of the items and the average costs. There are some really great kits that can help you get started that have everything that you need. But really, it's a deep box that has the frames, some wax, a hive tool, a beekeeping suit, of course, so you don't get stung, a smoker if you choose, the bees, some feeders, sugar water. There's a lot of different options. There's a lot of items that are optional, depending on your preference. So taking a look at that fact sheet and finding out what works for you and your finances and how you want to raise bees, that's a really great place to start.
But there's also some requirements. You can't just go out to your backyard if you have an HOA and say, like, look at my new bees.
Right. So making sure that your HOA does not have any restrictions on bees, being a good neighbor. So making sure that your beehive is not right on your neighbor's fence, letting your neighbors know what you're doing. That really goes a long way. Promising them some future honey also really helps. Municipalities cannot stop you from having bees, but that doesn't mean that neighborhoods cannot.
And you also might need to register.
Correct. There's three registration levels. There is a free sensitivity one, which basically means they're not going to come spray if the city sprays. The typical registration that you need is $10, and that puts you on the sensitivity list. And then if you decide in the future to sell at a farmer's market, they may require that. If you are a farmer that has other livestock and other items and you're already working with the FSA, if you ever have to apply for ELAP, you need to have that hive registered. So for that $10 registration, you give yourself a lot of flexibility.
And also, I don't think a lot of people realize that bees are livestock. So talk a little bit about that fact.
Yes, bees are livestock, which is why I'm here talking with you today about it. They are not native to the United States. So they are like cattle or sheep or goats or anything else like that. And so although a lot of honeybee conservation practices also benefit other native pollinators, they are not native pollinators. And so it is our job as beekeepers to take care of our bees, make sure that they're free of disease and that they're healthy so we don't start impacting the other pollinators in the area.
But you mentioned because they are livestock, they are, you know, they qualify for some programs. You mentioned ELAP.
Yes, they do qualify for ELAP. The USDA does keep numbers on the number of colonies, the health of the colonies, and average honey production for certain states. So it is just like cattle, except for cattle won't decide to just leave you one day, and bees have that option.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit, and you had some great reactions from the audience, but I think some people just think you just leave them in the backyard and they'll stay happy and healthy forever, and that's the end of it, but that is not the end of it.
It is not the end of it, and it's really recommended to go into those hives at least every 2 weeks, sometimes once a month, and make sure that everything looks good, make sure you have a queen, make sure they look healthy, make some decisions. Record keeping is important. I always, for every species, I tout record keeping. So record keeping and finances and everything like that are just as important, and we're here to help everyone with farm financial planning and anything like that.
And I know there's several ways you can purchase bees, some different kinds of options that people really need to do their homework on.
Yes, there's three main options. One is a package. They come with less resources. They're a little bit slower to start, but they are cheaper. You have a nuc or nucleus. That is larger. It does come with frames and some honey and brood for the bees. Baby bees are in there. And then, of course, there's a swarm. And a swarm is freebies other than your time and the fact that you don't know their temperament, their health status, et cetera. So a nucleus is mostly what people do. And you work with a beekeeper near you because you cannot ship a nucleus. And so when you're buying a nuc, you're typically buying local, which is good for bees because they're used to your climate. They're used to your environment. And so that's a really great option for people.
And you and I have talked before about, you know, if you see a swarm and you want to get rid of it, to call a beekeeper, but you don't always know the temperament that you're getting with those swarms, and there can be naughty bees.
There can be naughty bees. Most swarms are very calm. And so that is the one issue with catching swarms is you catch a swarm, they're very calm, and then maybe they go through the winter as they build up their population, they start to show their true temperaments. And so as a beekeeper, sometimes you can be surprised because that nice calm swarm in the spring can turn out to be a little bit nasty. But there are ways of combating that, switching out the queen, getting some different genetics in there. But it is something that you have to be mindful of if you are catching a swarm.
It's also fascinating because you do this with genetics in cattle, right? And now you're thinking about genetics in bees.
Yes, genes are important no matter what.
Well, the first thing, like, I think the most important thing I took out of today is it's not easy, and people really need to decide if this, it's a lot of work, and decide if they're able to do this.
I think it's important to do your research, find a mentor, go to a workshop, join a beekeeping club, all of these different things, especially if you find a mentor and you can go out and see what an inspection looks like and make sure that you are okay with that, that you are not scared of the bees, that you're not allergic to bees. There are some physical elements to it. These boxes are heavy. These boxes do stack high. And so making sure that you have the kind of setup that works with your physicality is also important. So keeping all of that in mind and really thinking it through before you just start buying equipment and start buying bees.
And of course, all the information that you talked about today available online.
Correct. It's available through OSU Extension. We have really great budgets that help you work through this. It is not the most expensive ag enterprise, but it is also some money. Yeah. So it's about $1,000 to buy all the necessary equipment for one hive. They suggest you start with two. So it can get expensive right away. And you typically do not get honey that first year. And so you're having a lot of expenses up front. You're going a year without any income from the bees. And so it is something that you need to think about and plan for and not take lightly.
This is like farming.
It is. They are livestock. It is farming. It is just like everything else.